Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yes, that line forms is on the right babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Thursday morning, 2:02 to be precise. I got you for the next 3 hours, all the way till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we'll get to the New York Knicks. We'll get to the football conversation, but we're in baseball season, baby. And Pete Alonso saves the Mets yet again. Mr. Clutch, oh, he needed that. That's right, Sal, I want all that smoke. 888-808-1019. And yes, Pete Alonso, in what has been a complete reversal so far early on in this year, of all the talk of last year and his inability to come through in the clutch and his inability to carry the team, as clearly we're seeing the same thing from Lindor. We have all the issues that are surrounding Vientos. Obviously off to a good start, off to a start of, you know, getting on base, but really haven't seen that other than the long home run and a couple of, you know, good at bats where he'd get walks in big spots. Soto hasn't necessarily come through in big spots either. And right now, if you watch that game yesterday for the New York Mets, if they lose that game, like Pete Alonso saved what would be the next 2 days of just absolute, and I know it's overreaction. This is what we do early on in the season, right? We're going to overreact to what the Yankees did last night. We overreacted, me and, you know, Fleegs. He was off out in Miami. We were just talking about it before we came back on here, how ridiculous all the talk was about the stupid torpedo bats. We don't have to worry about that anymore now that they can't. It doesn't matter what bat you're swinging if you can't make contact. So we'll get to the Yankees in just a minute. But I know we overreact and we go crazy, and that's what we do here. I understand. It's a 162-game season of one-game seasons every single night. But the way this team has performed offensively to start the year, and then watching this team play yesterday, and just a lifeless, ugly game where Vientos, coming off a day where he didn't run the first in the second game of this series, didn't hustle out of the box, was talked to by his teammates and his head coach and his manager, and all the narrative around that, and understood, and it won't happen again, and he follows it up with just ridiculously awful defensive plays, whether it's, you know, coming home in the third inning and putting his starting pitcher, Clay Holmes, we'll get to here, in a real bad predicament, throwing the ball over the catcher's head, or, you know, playing a fair ball into a base hit with a runner at third. Everything that went on there, the inconsistency of the bats, what we're seeing from Beatty, what we're seeing from Lindor, what we're seeing from up and down the lineup. This was a dead-looking offense that the Met fan is all over already, because it's supposed to be the driving force of the team, right? The bullpen's been pretty good. The rotation's been better than expected. Clay Holmes hasn't been the ace, maybe, that he looked like in spring. But ultimately, he's been keeping you in games and pitching fairly well. McGill had a great start. Griffin Canning had a great start. You're feeling, you know, very good about where this rotation is, and yet you're not winning at the clip you expected, you know, six games in, because the offense hasn't been what it's supposed to be. And in this game, even the defense, you got Taylor out in the outfield, center field, turning an out into a base hit, letting bases loaded in the third inning. Vientos, like we said, and the storyline was going to be, if they lose this game down 4-1 in the eighth inning, right? Forget the grand slam the other night. This is the home run from Pete Alonso, because if you head into the off day, getting ready for home opener Friday, and I understand everyone's going to be pumped, it's the home opener, but for 2 days leading into that, we would be talking about how lifeless this offense is. We would be talking about Vientos and his defense and the underwhelming start to the year of such a promising season for Vientos, and what we expect from him and what year two is supposed to look like from him, and how Soto was supposed to uplift this offense into something special, like close to or next to the Dodgers, who have yet to lose a game, watching the Braves just completely crap themselves and have yet to get a victory on this season. But they're supposed to be that next best team, or at least right in that mix, and the offense has come out of the season just awful. We got the conversation around Beatty. We got the conversation around Vientos. We have the conversation about the early struggles of Lindor. We've got, like, it's that would be the talk of the next 2 days. And instead, the New York Mets rally, and Pete Alonso has a terrific at bat where he's fouling off tough pitch after fouling off tough pitch, and then gets a fastball in the outside corner, and absolutely hits a unbelievable smoked line drive to slightly right center field for a game-tying home run, which also lends itself to what you see from the bullpen and Buddo and making plays at home plate, right? And even Beatty making a throw that looked like it was a run at the plate, but making enough of a play to get the out with further replay, and to get out of a jam with a runner at third and less than two outs in the bottom of the 10th inning. And everything that now we feel good about, oh, the difference between 3-3 and 2-4 after the opening road trip and heading home, it's enormous and all that. And now we're talking about how good Pete Alonso is and how much he can matter hitting behind Juan Soto and the powerful nature of him and, you know, breaking Darryl Strawberry's record, and just how different he feels already, the body language. These two home runs have been, without question, the two biggest hits of the early Mets season, and they've come from a guy who last year had what felt like none of it up until the postseason. And I don't know if that home run has released him and gotten the monkey off his back, and he's not worried about it as much, or it's the second year now, because let's be honest, he's still, you know, this is another 1 year contract. This is another make it or break it season for Pete Alonso. This is what we thought he struggled with mightily last year, you know, particularly obviously just with his offensive struggles, and then the way he handled it, the way he talked about it, you know, the idea of, you know, a little after the All-Star break, when asked questions about it, he's given his resume about how many home runs he hits and, you know, the fact that he was an All-Star. And you could just tell, as he's given his resume of a free agent, you could tell how much it was weighing on him. And this year he got his money, at least for 1 year. He's the highest paid first baseman in the league. He's making good defensive plays. And he is so far, I mean, let's be honest, I got to tell you, this is what we do. We would be taking phone calls, and we will, at 888-808-1019, about how lifeless the Mets look. And the real issue right now with Mark Vientos, and it's a handful of games in, but what we've seen from him already this early season is frustrating, right? And he doesn't run the ball out the other day, and he's called to the carpet for it, right? He admitted that both Lindor and his manager came to speak to him, told him it can't happen again. And, of course, that's completely un-Yankee-like. I'm sure nobody ever talked to Gleyber Torres. But they – I just have to throw it in there. What are you going to do? I'm the Yankee shill. But they talk to him, and he comes out and has a miserable defensive game. Miserable defensive game.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And if Pete Alonso doesn't hit that home run and they go meekly and lose 2 out of 3 to Miami, who's gotten off to a fairly good start here, but lose 2 out of 3 to Miami heading home, there would be a lot of pressure to get rolling at home this Friday against the Blue Jays. Like, there would be a lot of pressure off of losing 2 out of 3 in the opening series and then losing 2 out of 3 to Miami, which we talk about how important it is to win all these games. Yes, it's only 6 games in. Yes, it's only, you know, the beginning of the season. You expect the offense to turn around, and I still do. And they did enough in this game to win, obviously. But when you're playing Miami and you're looking at the division you're in, and I know that we'll get to the Atlanta Braves and their 0-7 start and the ramifications of that and what other teams have done historically when starting 0-7 after getting walked off last night by Otani. But you're in a division with the Braves. You're in a division with the Philadelphia Phillies, right? And an up-and-coming, young, talented Washington team that might be a year away but is going to be better this season. And when you play the Marlins, we talked about this a lot yesterday, when you play the Marlins, I can tell you as a Yankee fan, there's at least 3 or 4 years in the last 6 or 7 that were directly, the division was directly correlated on how you beat up the Baltimore Orioles. I know the Orioles are in a different spot now. The last couple of years they've been good. But there was a stretch where the Orioles were the dregs of baseball, losing 100 games a year. And the division winner between the Rays, the Red Sox, the Yankees, so much of it was predicated on how they beat up the Orioles. One team would go, you know, 15-4, and the other team would go 9-10 or 10-9, and that would be the difference in a division. So when you're playing a team like Miami, who we expect to lose close to 100 games, even though it's early on in the year, even though we can, you know, move on from it, you got to take these series, and you can't go into Miami after losing the first series of the year against the Houston Astros and go into your worst, the worst team in your division that you have to beat up on, especially in a tough division like the NL East, and to come out losing that game with the offense looking the way it's looking, with the defense looking the way it was looking. This would have been a really tough spot for the Mets early on, as tough a spot as you could be in heading to opening day. And instead, Pete Alonso at it again. Right? It was just a couple of days ago that Sal, yes, you Sal, and everybody else was complaining about him hitting third, the body language, and everything else. And over the last couple of days, Pete Alonso has completely saved the Mets, and he is poised. And, you know, look, I understand. I heard a caller as I was listening, you know, to Keith at the end of the show talking about Juan Soto's struggles here, which is laughable. I mean, this is where we are. Juan Soto's struggles. Guy's got a 900 OPS through the first 6 games, but his struggles. And he hasn't had many impact at bats. You know, he's gotten on base, but we all know what he's going to be. And hitting behind him is such a big conversation, and we talk about it all the time. And Pete Alonso hitting behind Juan Soto, I think, is primed for an enormous season. And then the other element of it, and I know it's early on, and we don't want to talk about this too much, but prepare to say goodbye. Like, every time he hits a home run like this, I can't help myself. Because when I think of how Stearns operates, and we'll get into all the different things about, you know, Sandy Alcantara and the idea of trading for him, and the Mets were obviously open about it, and we know how this roster is put together, and we understand, you know, the free agents hitting the market next year, and we understand what the process was this past season for the Mets with Pete Alonso, who didn't have to deal with what every other team had to deal with, the qualifying offer and the picks attached to signing Pete Alonso, and they still struggled with the idea of bringing him back with no real better solution. Next year, there could be better solutions, more teams viable to be in the game without having to lose picks to sign Pete Alonso. And every time he hits a big home run, and every time he comes through, I just keep thinking, like, this could be his last season as a Met, and he wants to make it count. And right now, to start the year, he has been the most clutch, the most productive, and has saved the Met bacon on two separate occasions. And yesterday, saved them from sleepwalking through a lousy Marlins team and losing two out of three. And everybody questioning the toughness and grittiness of this Met team, the defense of this Met team, and wondering whether Vientos is still the guy he was last year and how soon before we pull the plug on Beatty and everything like that. But instead, we're talking about a rousing win in incredible home run, the bullpen getting you out of jam after jam and extra innings and finding a way to come through and win a baseball game. And that is so much more of a fun conversation for the Met fans heading into Friday than what could have been all day today, talking about a lifeless, listless performance from the New York Mets, much like you got from the New York Yankees. But I also want to talk about Clay Holmes in this, because before we get to the Yankees, because I thought, you know, as we talk about this rotation and how impressed I've been with it to start the year, and it's only once through. And I've talked a lot about how we expect too much from Clay Holmes coming off in a really good spring and what we saw from his first start. I got to tell you again, yes, he didn't get deep into games this game. Yes, he wasn't overpowering. But I thought, like, when you look at it, Clay Holmes, who I've had concerns about making this transition to the starting pitcher just for a bunch of different reasons. Even just now, this is his second start. And what do you do in between those 5 days? And this is something he hasn't done in 6 years. Like, he's an everyday pitcher for 6 years. He's a guy, and especially a sinker baller, who when they don't throw, what do we hear? You watch baseball like I do. What do we hear every time a sinker baller comes in as a reliever who hasn't pitched in 3-4 days? It's, oh, you know, he's a little strong. You know, the sinker's probably coming out a little hot, not having its movement. He's throwing it too hard. He's a bit strong. We've heard that forever about all different kinds of sinker pitchers. So the idea that he's coming in, hasn't thrown for 5 or 6, 7 days as it was with all the off days to start the year, like, this is all new to him. And for him to come in and have his defense, much like with the Yankees last year, and I screamed over and over to every Yankee fan about how Clay Holmes is better than his numbers present, because the defense behind him is bad, the shifting behind him is bad, you know, the bad luck on little soft ground balls are, you know, crippling him. Even when he makes his pitch, he can be beat. I've been talking about this forever. And you go through that inning, in the third inning with Clay Holmes, and he gets into a situation that he puts himself in, but then he gets a fly ball to center that's turned into a base hit. Then he gets the ground ball after a sacrifice fly to Vientos, who throws it home, and yet Clay Holmes settles in. Clay Holmes does not implode. Clay Holmes figures out a way to get through that inning, get through 4 2/3, and give you a representative start. I know it hasn't been what we thought, maybe. I know Met fans had bought into this idea that the Mets pitching lab was going to turn him into an ace, and he had this incredible spring training, and that kick change, and he had a .83 whip in spring, and, you know, I got caught calls that, you know, Clay Holmes is going to win the Cy Young, and plus the extra added element of it being, you know, sticking it to the Yankees. The Met fan had relished the idea of him off to this incredible start and being one of the best pitchers in baseball because of his spring. That was always fool's gold. It's going to be a transition. It's going to take some time. And despite we haven't seen him on the top of his game, I think he's been really resilient. And some of the fears I had about him making this transition, I've actually felt pretty good about the way Clay Holmes has thrown the ball. And I felt pretty good about the way he's come through big. I mean, because we've seen it time and time again with the Yankees. And maybe this is a benefit to him because he's never had the rope, right? As a closer, you know, you let a fly ball in center field lands, a third baseman throws it over the catcher's head. That's it. You're walking off the mound a loser, and everybody claiming, well, you know, that's what the problem is when you have a closer who relies on contact. But instead, he's a starting pitcher. He can get through that inning, limit the damage, and live to fight another inning. And I've been really impressed with him. So for me, Clay Holmes was a big talking point of this game. Vientos and his defense and what we're seeing from him and his body language and not running out the ground ball, that's clearly a talking point. But we start this morning at 888-808-1019 talking about Pete Alonso. Yet again, saving the Mets with an enormous home run off a great at-bat, making foul, you know, swinging a tough, you know, breaking balls in the dirt, figuring out a way to extend that bat, looking for that fastball, which is what he's been doing. I think, you know, pitchers are going to have to start making the adjustment, because you look from that home run against Devin Williams in the playoffs on, Pete Alonso almost exclusively is looking for fastballs out over the plate to drive to center field and right center, because that's, he has the ability to do it. He has the power to do it. And if he can get those arms extended, it doesn't matter what ballpark or what direction the ball is going, he's powerful enough to hit this ball out. And that's where he's at his best. And right now, I would be terrified to throw Pete Alonso an outside fastball, because it feels like he's looking for it exclusively. Right? Much like Suarez was looking for that friggin' pitch from Mark Leiter, and Mark Leiter gave it to him, the split finger. You cannot throw Pete Alonso in a tough at bat with runners on an outside fastball, because that's where he's looking to go. He got it yesterday. He did not miss it. And he saved the Mets from a conversation about the lifeless, disgusting, now all of a sudden terrible defensively, right? We saw even Juan Soto, who's been okay for the Mets so far defensively, on a single that scores a run, kind of boots it. Center field and Taylor lets a ball drop. Vientos throws one over home. Vientos plays a easy ground ball at the on the foul line. Into a run and a single, like, just did not look good at all in this game. And it felt like the Mets were about to have an ugly, sloppy, lifeless, no offense, tough loss to the Miami Marlins. And instead, Pete Alonso showed up, hit an enormous home run. The bullpen and Budo continue to do what they've done all year. And they find a way to win this game, this series, get back to 500, and head home for the opener, where everybody's excited, everybody's ready to go. Hopefully the weather's nice, and we'll get this season underway. We'll get to the Yankees next at 888-808-1019. Carlos Rodon and his early struggles. And to me, again, much like Clay Holmes, I got a different opinion than a lot of people think. What I've heard about Carlos Rodon in this start last night. But the Yankee bats with 16 strikeouts, losing their first series of the year, will look tomorrow to Cookie Carrasco to make sure they don't get swept and finish this homestand 3-3, which would be extremely disappointing after all the home runs off the torpedo bats in the first three against Milwaukee. So a little baseball to get us started. We'll talk about the New York Knicks and what we can try and take from their first half and then ultimate blowout loss from the Cavaliers.